I was very glad to hear Hannah interviewing Simon last week with some celebration of the work of Unilever. At this harvest time, we give thanks for all the mighty bounty that most of us enjoy in this country. I remember the stories of absolute poverty of some of my family growing up in the 1930s East End of London. And I give thanks that whilst poverty continues to be an immoral blight on far too many people in this country, we generally do not have the privations of 100 years ago. And let us also recognise that up to this year, there have been great strides forward in bringing millions around the world out of absolute poverty. The engine for all this alleviation of poverty in Britain and abroad, of course, has been industry and commerce. On this Harvest Sunday, let us give thanks for all this. The entrepreneurs and business people, the scientists and engineers who brought untold prosperity to many of us. But now the very engines that have brought such growth threaten to destroy us all. It is the case that those engines of economic growth and our general culture have to be turned to sustainable living, otherwise there is no living. Our theme for today, we have to live more simply that our grandchildren may simply live. I will briefly highlight the existential threat to our existence that we face. I surely do not need to labour it. Surely we know, do we not? I want to spend instead more time today on asking, where is God in all of this? What are his purposes for this planet, for our lives? What is the point of all this economic development we have seen, and now the threat that we will destroy ourselves? I want to emphasize that this world is not a passing phenomena while we wait to go to heaven. But this world, our lives within it, are integral to God. Planet Earth was made out of his love, is sustained by his love, and is to be fulfilled in his love. We, you and I, all man and woman, are elemental to this love. We are made in his image, a little lower than the angels. We are to live up to our calling, the reason God made us. In spite of the almost overwhelming lies of the devil, in his near all-embracing manifestation as Mammon, we are not made to be consumers. We are made to be a glorious, holy people, a royal priesthood, in, with, and through King Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are to live in such a way, to live like Jesus, to live in accord with our royal priestly vocation. The call to live more simply, that our grandchildren may simply live, is a call to fulfill the way that God intends us to live. First, briefly, the climatic and ecological disaster that is so evident today and is unfolding with accelerating speed. A summary of what is going on. The Earth has warmed 1 degree centigrade above pre-industrial levels. If we continue living as we are, the Earth will warm to 2 degrees and beyond by the end of this century. If we allow this warming to continue, we will experience more extreme weather events, sea level rises, disease, increasing extinction of species. All this is leading and will lead to further crop failure, food shortages, water shortages, ecosystem collapse, increasing poverty, displacement of people, conflict over resources, and civil unrest. These disasters are affecting millions of people around the world and will become all the more extensive and severe. If we do not take action, many scientists predict that global average temperatures will rise by 4 degrees centigrade within 100 years. Such a rise in temperature would mean the end of life as we know it now. If we do not simply live, our grandchildren simply may not live. The climate emergency is being compounded by ecological destruction caused by the meat industry, intensive agricultural practices, and overfishing. All of this is a result of overconsumption. This is the dire situation we are in. So where is God in all of this? There should be another slide coming on. In the book of Revelation, where reality is unveiled, we are given dire warning, also glorious hope. As ever, the Bible does not shirk from the realities that we face. The reading from Revelation 18 pictures the result of centering a society on mammon. It says clearly that if wealth, money is the god of your culture, it will eventually collapse. Chapter 18, verse 3 spells out the alluring, addictive power of mammon. All the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries. When collapse comes, it can all seem to happen so fast. Chapter 18, verse 17. In 1 hour, such great wealth has been brought to ruin. The themes of the book of Revelation are timeless. Idolatry leads to mayhem and destruction. But also the theme runs through Revelation that the glory of heaven is just a thin veil away. And the great promise of the book is that glory will prevail. See again and be inspired by the glorious pictures at the end of Revelation from chapter 21 onwards. From the reading today of chapter 21, heaven will meet with earth. There will be a time of harmony of God, man and woman and nature. God will dwell with us. We will be his people. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. God wipes every tear from our eyes. In such a place, there can be no poverty or injustice. The old order of things has passed away. In such a place, the glories of wealth are communal, enjoyed together in security. In such a place, the Christ, Jesus, is at the center, seated on the throne. In such a place, we have become like Jesus, like him in his great zest for life, enjoying nature, exercise, conviviality, rejecting wealth, emphasizing simplicity, lives formed in God in times of solitude and prayer. Jesus' life, the life that we are called to imitate. This is a place that can always be sustained. All of this is God's work. It is the fulfillment of his love. But again, God does not do it on his own. This new order, new heaven, new earth, the heaven that we hope and pray for, comes in love with a marriage between Christ and his bride, the church. You, me, all who are in Christ, all that is good of human achievement is taken into the glory of this new order. The paradise of the Garden of Eden has developed into the ideal city. We have to note in this glorious hope of heaven, there is also exclusion. See verse 8 of Revelation 21. There can be no place for idolaters and the vile, the selfish and complacent, for those who do not believe that this new order is possible, for those who do not believe Christ. We are to live, as St. Paul told us, as citizens of this heaven. And the next slide, I know Simon's gone to sleep, not listening, maybe. We are to live, as St. Paul told us, as citizens of this heaven. Philippians 3:20. We are to pray, live, and work for this heaven. We are to become people who can live in the sustainability of heaven. In the words of the carol that we probably won't be singing together this Christmas, we are to pray and work that Christ, Jesus, will fit us for heaven to live with you there. So start with rejecting the lie that you are a consumer. To say again, in spite of the almost overwhelming lies of the devil, in his near all-embracing manifestation as Mammon, we are not made to be consumers. The forces around us that would make us overconsume are mighty and all the more powerful because they're generally oblique, subtle. All-pervasive advertising, norms and values unconsciously accepted will make us, if we're not aware, shop and buy and travel way beyond anything that is good for us or our planet. We are not made to be consumers. We are made to be a glorious, holy people, a royal priesthood with and through King Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So let us set about living it out. See what all of this might mean in practice. This is the fourth and last in a sermon series on giving. Remember essential principles that we've seen in the last weeks. Gladness and generosity are found in simplicity. Full life is found in centering in God. Remember two core precepts that can liberate you. The more, less, more precept tells us that the more we know God, the less we feel the need to spend on ourselves. The choices precept makes us realize we have choices, what we do with our money. Every time we spend, consume, we miss an opportunity to give or save constructively. As you work this out in practice, as you live as a citizen of heaven, make wise, conscious decisions for sustainable living. A bit more, a summary of what might look like in practice. Don't buy unless it's really worth it, enhances life. Buy your energy from a green supplier. Why haven't you? Why aren't you? Why wouldn't you? Consider what you eat. I say it as somebody who's reducing meat eating, but I know that if we were all vegetarians, many problems would be solved. Consider how you travel. Consider how you save, invest. Give to agencies that are building the kingdom of God. Pray for industry and commerce, for scientists and engineers, that the engines of economic growth will be directed towards sustainability. Be politically active. Lobby, vote in ways that will put pressure on politicians that they will make the national and international agreements that are essential if we are to avert climatic and ecological disaster. And above all, go deeper into your relationship with God. Grow your relationship with God. Know the liberation of being like Jesus in the simplicity of the life that he led. Be an activist for his kingdom. As we conclude, we are in an utter crisis. I find it heartbreaking to say this, but the reality is that putting Mammon first means it's possible that our grandchildren may not live securely. But as David Attenborough says, and please do see the film, I gather it's out on Netflix, it's his testament about his life on this planet. But as David Attenborough and so many keep telling us, it is not yet too late. If as individuals and as nations together, we learn to live sustainably, our grandchildren can enjoy something of the glory of heaven. The heaven promised in the book of Revelation, the heaven that is ultimate reality, the heaven that is our home in Christ for those who choose it, the heaven that we are to live and work for. Amen.